Well, today is a visitation day. So let's welcome our guests. We are so glad you are here in Holland at Hope College, where it's always sunny, even in February, right? It's always like this. Speaking of February, we just passed Groundhog Day. I actually don't know what happened with Punxsutawney Phil or whatever. I don't know if we have more winter ahead of us or not. But I feel like I've been living in a little bit of a Groundhog Day moment, because I've been having the same conversation, people, like over and over and over again. Here's how it goes. Maybe I've had it with you. I'm not calling you out if that's the case. But here's what people go, oh, you're pregnant. And I'll go, yeah, I'm pregnant, you know. And they'll say, do you know what you're having? Is it a boy or girl? And I'll say, well, we don't know. We're going to be surprised. And they say, oh, but do you want a girl? Like that, because they know, if they already know that I have a son, Jacob. And then it's sort of like that moment where you're like, what are you supposed to say, right? Because, I mean, it might be a boy. So I say, well, you know, and they say, oh, I know. Boy or girl, as long as it's a healthy baby. People always say this. And sometimes I even say it, because it's like that awkward feeling. It's like, what are you supposed to say? So you're like, so then I say, oh, boy or girl, as long as it's a healthy baby. But I've been thinking about this lately. I mean, what do I mean when I say this? Because if it's not healthy, I do plan to love this baby, right? Absolutely. Unhealthy babies are born all the time. And we don't care if they're a boy or a girl, if they're healthy or unhealthy. We love these babies, right? And I think that healthy baby thing has a lot more to do with me and my anxiety, or maybe you guys and your anxiety, than it has to do with love, right, or goodness or whatever. I think it has to do with what I think it takes to have a good life, that somehow health is part of that. I think what I'm really saying is, you know what, I don't care what this baby is like, what this baby chooses for its life. I just want it to have a good life. And it kind of made me think of you guys. I think you guys are in a stage of your life when you're making all kinds of decisions, back-to-back decisions, about the goodness of your life. You're trying to decide what career will make for a good life for me. And maybe as you're kind of checking out people on campus and you're dating people, you're trying to decide who will make a good partner for me, who will help me to have a good life. And you're making some decisions about lifestyle, too, like how much debt can I take on and still have a good life? These are big questions, right? This idea of a good life is on our minds a lot. And I think it's in Scripture a lot. I don't think we made this up. I think we're taught in Scripture that God wants us to have a good life. But sometimes I wonder a little bit, what does it mean? What does Scripture mean? What does God mean by a good life? Psalm 73 talks about a good life. But I think it asks some important questions about what that good life means. So I'm going to read parts of Psalm 73 with you today, and I want you to listen for how the psalmist is describing the good life. And I want you to try to figure out where in the psalm does it turn a little bit. Maybe the psalmist decides, I got a different idea about what a good life looks like. Where does it kind of start to look differently? So let's read these words from Psalm 73. Truly, God is good to the upright, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant. I saw the prosperity, the goodness of the wicked. For they have no pain. Their bodies are sound and sleek. They're healthy. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not plagued like other people. Such are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches. When I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task until I went to the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived their end. Truly, you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will receive me with honor. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire other than you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord my refuge to tell of all your works. These are the words from Psalm 73. Hang on, let me figure out where I was here. Here's what I think this psalm is about. So the psalmist, who the Bible tells us it's a guy named Asaph. I don't actually know if that's how you say his name, but that's how we're going to say it today. Asaph, this guy, I think he's one of these guys who knows all the right answers. He's lived an upright life. The problem is, the promises that he knows so well don't seem to be panning out. It's almost like in this psalm, he's letting himself do what Trigg called us to do last night. He's asking some tough questions here because he says, I know that God wants good stuff for people who live a good life, who live an upright life. But that's not what I'm experiencing. I see a lot of good life around, but it's not for good people. It's for all those wicked people. In some ways, I think Asaph is calling God's bluff a little bit. And I can really resonate with that. Because there was a time in my life when I wish I had had the courage to call God's bluff. And maybe that's where you are today. Or maybe you know somebody who is there today. Psalm 73 speaks to me. Because one day, when I was a senior in high school, I got a card from somebody who loved me. And in that card, it said, I got it a week after my dad dropped dead of a heart attack. And that card said, Kate, just remember that God works all things together for the good of those who love him. And I wanted with everything in me to believe that that was true, but I didn't buy it. I didn't admit that to anybody, so let's just keep that between you and me. But I didn't buy it. Because it wasn't just that my heart was broken when that happened. My heart was broken. I loved my dad and I missed him like crazy. My heart broke the day that he died, but lots of other stuff in my life broke too. See, I had made lots of effort and studied really hard and stuff to get into this one school. I had built a future for myself and it started by going to this college. Well, the day my dad died was the day that we stopped having enough money for me to go to that college. My future broke the day my dad died. And not only that, but my mom, who had survived cancer twice already, suddenly every time she sneezed, I was sure she was going to die too. I was going to be an orphan. My sense of security, it broke the day my dad died. Not only that, but I didn't like going home anymore. It didn't feel like fun. Nobody was laughing. Everybody was crying, including me. It wasn't a good place to be. My home broke the day my dad died. But maybe worst of all is that I no longer could believe that God wanted good things for me, that God was good at all. See, my faith broke the day that my dad died. And then I got that card in the mail and it said, God works all things together for the good of those who love him. And I thought, well, do I just not love God enough? Or is God going to try to concoct this into something good? Because if God wants something good for my life that doesn't include my dad and my home and my security and my faith, well, that's not good to me, and I don't want it. I didn't say that to anybody, like Asaph said. I certainly didn't say it to God. But that's what was going on for me. How could a good God think that anything good could come out of that much brokenness? That's how I felt. And I wish that I had had Psalm 73. Because did you notice what happened in that psalm? When Asaph goes into the sanctuary of God, suddenly good has a whole new kind of definition for him. He tells us this, as for me, it is good to be near God. See, we spend so much time in our lives planning the good life, right? But maybe the good life doesn't have that much to do with my life at all. Maybe the good life is actually being caught up in God's life. Maybe it's not about the consequences of the decisions that you're making. Maybe it's not about your choices, what you choose. Maybe it has more to do with a God who chooses you. Maybe goodness is less about how faithful you can be to God, but goodness is about a God who is faithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. So here's what I want to say to you. If the good life, for whatever reason, doesn't seem possible for you anymore, or maybe the day that that moment comes for you, maybe it's coming, and suddenly the good life doesn't seem possible anymore, I want you to remember Psalm 73. Because maybe the good life isn't what you think it is. Maybe the good life isn't about you. Maybe it's about something bigger than you. Something longer and higher and wider and deeper than your life by itself could ever be. Maybe the good life is about God. A God who doesn't need you to find answers to your questions. A God who doesn't need you to find him at all, because this God has found you. The psalmist in the sanctuary, he realizes that all this time, through all this pain and brokenness and questions, God has been holding his right hand. God has been present. Not because Asaph figured out a way to draw near to God, because God drew near to him. I want you guys, as we close in prayer, if you're willing, to put your right hand out and try to feel God's hand in yours. A God who has drawn near to you, who loves you, who chose you, who is faithful to you, who is attentive to you and present with you. Because this God, I believe, is your good life. Let's pray. God, great is your faithfulness. Even when we don't feel it, may each of us, in the moment when everything feels like it broke, including our faith, when your promises don't even feel like they're true, may we feel your presence. May we feel your hand holding ours. And remember, whatever our lives look like, our good life is found in you. Thanks be to God. Amen. Go in peace.